I'd like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting this evening. I think we'd like to start with hymn number 16 on our sheets. Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Number 16. Let's start in Acts chapter 16. And my subject tonight is about the heathen. Can the heathen be saved? And how, we ask the question, how can a heathen be saved if he has never heard the gospel? We can sometimes think of, with our minds, what we think God should do, but we cannot control what God in His sovereignty can do. So I was in Africa one day, in Malawi. I was at the refugee camp. There were 400 men there between the ages of 18 and 30. And as I went in there, half of them were from Ethiopia, half of them from Somalia. An Ethiopian man came up and took me by one arm. He tried to lead me over to his side of the camp. A Somalian came over at the same time and took me by the other arm and tried to pull me over to his side of the camp. And I had to negotiate with them, and I told the Ethiopian man I would come to him in a little while. And so I went with the Somali first, the heathen Somali. And I went to his group of people in his clan, but they rejected the gospel. And so I went over to speak with the Ethiopians. Well, the Ethiopian man, he guided me into the depths of a big dark building. And after just speaking with the Somalis, I didn't want to go in that big dark building. And I went in there. He said, oh, it's okay, no problem. And so I said, okay, I'll go in. And there were over 100 men in there. And they were praying, and they were singing hymns. And after they finished praying and singing, they asked me to speak to them. And while I was speaking to them, the heathen were outside, the Somalis. They were throwing stones at the tin roof, making a lot of noise and disturbing the gospel. And as I was ready to leave that room afterwards, the Ethiopian said, you can't go out there. Those people are dangerous. I've been asked to take this gospel meeting tonight. And we know that most of you, if not all of you, have heard the gospel before. But yet, some of you are still rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord. You maybe think that you are saved, but yet you have not given up your sin of selfishness. and you continue to walk in a life of sin. You're like the poet who said, "I'd listened to the gospel many thousand times, though held in very high regard meant little more than rhymes. And so I ask, what will it take for you to be saved? What will it take for you to be saved?" We're not going to hold anything back tonight. We're not going to circumvent your sin with some feel-good message. But we will look at your sin and your rebellion and your need of salvation and the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There are only two types of sinners in this room tonight. We have self-righteous sinners and we have repentant sinners. I hope we have some repentant sinners tonight. But my message for you both is the same. In Acts 16, verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." There is no other message. You've heard it before. You are a sinner, and God is holy. And you are separated from God because of your sin. The Son of God came into this world, and he became a man so that he could die on the cross just because of your sins. Because of your sins, that separates you from God. And the only way for you to be saved is to believe on this man who is the Son of God. This man is Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Without the death, without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you could not be saved. If you don't repent, the Bible says you will perish. If you don't believe, you are condemned already. And condemned means that you're on your way to hell, a lost eternity in hell. And condemned means that the wrath of God abides on you. I beg with you tonight, please, don't put off your need of salvation tonight. Escape the wrath of God while there's still room in heaven for you. The door is still open. Come before that door is closed, before it is too late. Behold now, God says. Behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. Come unto me, all ye who labor and you burdened under your sin. The Lord Jesus has come, and I will give you rest. Rest from your sin. Do you want to have rest and peace? Or do you want to continue on in life, always worried about eternity? What if God really is true? What if this is true? And I am a sinner, and I am going to hell. You can have rest and peace tonight. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. You know, I want to tell the story here about the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee was self-righteous. The publican was repentant. And so here we have a self-righteous sinner and we have a repentant sinner. Luke 18 and verse 9. And Lord Jesus is, it's about the Lord Jesus, says, "He spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Well, the Pharisee, he was self-righteous. He was full of pride. He was full of himself. He did not care about God. He thought he was good enough the way he was before an holy God. And he looked good to himself. And he did not want anybody else to tell him what to do. I was at a hobby class we had for some inner city children. And as the after the children were standing in line to get some pizza, one boy turned around and he punched his brother in the chest. I grabbed the two boys before their war could escalate. And the first boy, he fell to the ground, kicking and screaming and saying, "You can't tell me what to do. You're not my father." That boy, he wanted to make his own choices. And he did not want to be told what to do. There was a young man. He was raised in a Christian home. He professed to be saved. He was gathered to the Lord's name. He even preached the gospel. Took to Sunday school. One day, that young man apostatized. Apostatized means he turned away from God. He didn't want to believe in God anymore, because if he believed in God, he couldn't follow his own choices and go his own way. That young man, his choice was to live a gay lifestyle as a homosexual. And he had a relationship with another man. And for many years, they were together. They adopted two young children. Now they're probably in their 10, 12, 14 years old, the children. A week or two ago, this young man posted a status on his Facebook page. 4 days to go. The next day it said 3 days to go. People started asking him, 3 days till what? He said, 3 days until I marry my beloved. This young man's sister posted on the Facebook. She said, "God's standard for marriage is one man and one woman." He wrote back and he said, "The laws of Canada are not as stringent as God's law." His mother wrote a post and she said, "But it's God's law." That young man wanted to make his own choices and go his own way. As a self-righteous sinner. It wasn't long that many other people joined that conversation on Facebook and they started to blaspheme God. They started to blaspheme the sister and they started to blaspheme the mother for what they had said in giving God his place in our lives. I felt sorry for my brother's mother and his sister. Young men doing that which is right in their own eyes. Maybe you're a young woman. Maybe you have some other sin in your life that you choose to do on your own. And you may think you are right in your own eyes. And life may be going on okay for you. And you think everything is okay. And you believe that you do not need to think about God right now. You want to make your own choices in life. Some of you can't wait till I stop talking so you can get on with life, because you have your life planned out with no thought of God. You attempt to make a good show to deceive your mom or your dad or the assembly. But your good show, is going to backfire on you because Satan is using you and he has you right where he wants you. Satan, he will destroy you with self-righteousness. You have your own self-righteous concept of what is right, what is wrong, and you want to influence other young people to go your way. And you overlook the Word of God. And you iniquitize the plain teaching of Scripture by twisting its meaning so that you can legitimize what you do and still try to feel good about yourself. Let me tell you, it's not about feeling good about yourself. You need to know God. How good is God? How good is the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus is holy. He is just. He is righteous. He is innocent. He is without sin. He could not sin. But yet the Holy Lamb of God was made sin for me. There were 3 hours of darkness when the Lord Jesus hung upon the cross, when my sin was taken and put on Jesus Christ, the Holy Lamb of God. And he suffered there. For 3 hours, he suffered the wrath of an holy God against sin. You need to see yourself as a self-righteous sinner. And you need to become a repentant sinner. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. And this is my desire for all sinners here tonight. I have been sent to preach the gospel. I've been asked in verse 18 to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, that and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin.